Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Little tiny skinny book. It might be difficult to catch first. You might have a couple of pages that are stuck together, not because you don't read it, but just simply because it's a small book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I am so happy to see all of you here tonight. I've been looking forward to this evening service. I've been looking forward to seeing all of you. I have made the services today a matter of prayer. I trust that you have as well. Should always pray about what the Lord has for you in church. There are some things you're going to have already known. A review is good. There are some things that you knew and forgot about. And it's always good to be reminded of those things. And there are some things that are just brand new to us. We learn it in Scripture. It's a living book. It's not like any other book. It's not like a Chilton's auto manual. It's not like a newspaper. It's not like any other magazine. It's God's living word. And there's always something new every time that you read it. We're going to start with one verse tonight, and then we're going to see a number of other passages this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Reading with me, please, out loud, everyone now. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And tonight's message is simply entitled, But It's Difficult. But It's Difficult. And I'm not about to lie to you and tell you that the Christian life is just the easiest thing. I know the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, but the truth of the matter is we all stress and we all struggle from day to day in many different areas of our Christian walk, and I want to address that tonight. Lord, help us, I pray, if you'll give us understanding that we might be obedient to your word. If you'll help, Lord, we will be helped, and I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. But what does it say? Why does he do that? It says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I want to say, it doesn't say it's chosen him to be saved. It said it chose him to be a soldier. So we understand that. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Then the Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew believers in Hebrews 11, 6. He says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And each one of these passages speak to us about being pleasing to the Lord. And I believe I'm talking to people tonight, that's your goal. You want your daily living to be pleasing to the Lord. You don't want to displease him. You want to please him in all things. And throughout the Bible, it was the desire of God's people to live a life that was pleasing to the Lord. I know I'm speaking to all of us tonight because that's your desire. Do we always fulfill that desire? No, we do not. We have that human element and that selfish element many times that causes us to fail. And they wanted their lives in Bible times, their prayers, their songs, their desires, their works, their worship, all of it, they wanted it to be pleasing to the Lord. And has that desire been lost in the day and age in which we live? I've got to be honest and say, in many ways it has been lost. Because now we are pleasing the Lord with what pleases us. We figure if we're happy, God's happy. Boy, is that ever a lie that we have told ourselves. God is not always happy just because we're happy. The truth is, we choose things in our life that make us happy, that displease the Lord. And because we're happy, oh, the Lord wants us all to be happy. After all, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and surely that's pleasing to the Lord just because I desire it. And no, not necessarily. For example, one who's not right with God is certainly not pleasing to the Lord. When you say right with God, Pastor, what are you talking about? Pleasing him. When we're doing that which pleases the Lord, being right with the Lord. And you cannot be pleasing to the Lord and disregard what he says. May I say that again? You cannot be pleasing the Lord when you are disregarding what he has said in his word. And so when you are right with God, you're doing what pleases him, you see. I was a youth director for many years. I enjoyed that ministry so much, very much. Give a teenager a job to do. When they do the job, you're pleased. You know what I'm saying, don't you? You assign something to someone and they're getting it done. It's pleasing, and I love that. But I found that with working with young people, sometimes they did not want to fulfill that desire that I had, and they'd get messing around and doing things that kept them from finishing maybe the job or the duty or whatever it was they were supposed to do. I know when I first went to, I won't give you the name of the church, but in every church that we have served as youth director, we taught our young people how to witness and how to be a soul winner. That's just what we've done. Started with the very first ministry all the way to the last one, and we've continued it here at Timberline Baptist Church. You teach them how to talk to strangers, how to talk to people, how to present the gospel, how to give that gospel message to a lost and dying world. And I know that in one particular church, I met with all the teenagers in what was called, it was next to the youth chapel. And there weren't that many teenagers that wanted to go witnessing. So we met in the kitchen, and we all lined up in the kitchen of the church there. And what they had done before, and this was reported to me by one of the men who worked with the youth before I got there. He was a layman, and he said they would go to the shopping mall and they would have the kids talk to people at the shopping mall. Now, I want to say something. That's hard to do, okay? If you're starting out soul winning, that's not where you want to go first. You don't want to go down to the Citadel Mall here with tracts in your hand and you want to start meeting people in the mall. That's not the way you start it. And so what they would do is they would go shopping. They would have their gospel tracts or whatever it was, and they would walk around the mall maybe for an hour, and they would go into a store and they would buy stuff. It might be gum, it might be just about anything, but they would not witness. And so I thought, I'm going to change that right now. And I got them all in the kitchen and I said, I understand you all go shopping when you go to the mall. And they all kind of looked at each other like, yeah, that's what we do. I said, I'm going to give each of you some tracts. And I said, you can go shopping tonight after you personally hand out all of these tracts. I think I gave them 10 tracts is all it was. So they had to meet 10 people. All they had to do is hand them a tract and invite them to come to church. They didn't have to do anything else because we hadn't started some training like we normally would do. They looked at each other. I remember one girl, her name was Michelle, and she's in heaven now. She was standing, literally, she was standing next to the kitchen cabinets. She fell straight backwards into the cabinets. And her eyes got about that big. And she looked at me and she says, you mean we've got to talk? I said, yeah, you have to talk. Hand somebody a tract. Invite them to church. When I found out that they just went shopping, I would just want to say I wasn't very pleased at all. And when they found out they had to actually hand out a gospel tract, they weren't very pleased either. But that was the beginning of training. And over the years that we were there, they had, I think it was well over 400 people came to faith in Christ because of their witness. It all started like that. And what I'm saying is as a youth pastor, they would do things that did please me. And as a youth director, sometimes they did things that did not please me, and I let them know. Well, many of them got the idea, we want to do what pleases our leader, our youth director, the one who guides us and teaches us the Bible. And I was very happy with that. And the Lord used it in a very special way. When you're not right with God, you're simply not doing what pleases Him. That's simple. When you are right with the Lord, you're doing that which pleases the Lord. In other words, you're headed in the right direction with your Christian living. Now, what is it that pleases the Lord in salvation? I mean, I think we need to know that because there's only two religions in the whole world, aren't there? One is due and one is done. One says you have to do this in order to go to heaven. One says it's already been done for you by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So, you know, for example, what is it that pleases the Lord in salvation? Is it baptism? Is it belonging to a church and membership? Is it righteous living? Is it good works? All of those things are great. But when it comes to salvation, they score zero. None of them are worthy of salvation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 simply says again, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. when I look about salvation and what pleases the Lord, I think of a few key passages that we have used for years here at Timberline in teaching salvation by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know these verses by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yeah, of course we know that. Romans 4, 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And then there's the ever famous Titus 3:5. We are saved. The Bible says that we are not saved by our own righteousness, but we're saved by his mercy and grace that saves us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we understand from Scripture that salvation is not through baptism, church membership, righteous living, or good works of any kind. It's simply through faith in Jesus Christ. When I think about that, I think about these key verses. Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. The deeds of the law do not make you righteous. You might have righteous living. You might dress right, talk right, smell right, you know, the whole nine yards. But it doesn't get you to heaven. Therefore, the Bible says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's how we know we're sinners, because the Bible says so in what God has written. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, therefore we conclude. And I love that when the Bible uses the word conclude. It's in Ecclesiastes, the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, this is the end of all ends. And here it says in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So we understand that's something that pleases the Lord. It's illustrated in Isaiah 53. If you want to take your Bible, you can go there. It's a very famous passage, but it tells us what it is that pleases the Lord. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, it tells us that the only sacrifice of Jesus is what pleased the Lord. It says in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then if you go down to verses 10 and 11, key verses for the message tonight, where it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, we understand, and I'm just talking about one point right now, and that's what pleases the Lord in salvation. Only the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross is what pleases God. Did you notice it said it pleased God and it satisfied God when he saw what Jesus did on Calvary? And by the way, that's the reason that salvation is so simple. And one reason I love our gospel tract, God's simple plan of salvation. Romans 6:23 simply says, The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10 verses 9 through 13, it talks about what pleases the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you're out soul winning, when you're knocking on a door, when you're witnessing to a family member, they need to understand that Jesus paid it all, and it's all to him we owe. Not by any work of righteousness that we have done. No, no one is justified by the keeping of the law. So, but if you are saved, see, that's what pleases the Lord in salvation. But if you are saved, how can you stay right with God? Thus my sermon title tonight, but it's difficult. How can you stay right with the Lord if you are saved? This is where we struggle. by learning and doing what pleases him. And the Bible simply says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so what is it, after you get saved, how can you work on staying right with the Lord? You don't have to you don't have to work on remaining saved. Thank the Lord. You don't have to work at that because you can't lose it. You didn't earn it and you can't lose it. It was a gift that was given to every single one of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. You didn't work for it. You didn't pay for it. It was paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. We are bought with a price, which was his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. You can't lose your salvation. Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish." And you know what? That's good enough for me. He said, "I'm saved." And Peter said that I am kept by the very power of God in his writings that he gave. So, what pleases the Lord after you get saved? Let's go back to a couple of basics, shall we? Number one, baptism. It does not save you, but it identifies you with Jesus. It is what new Christians did, and it's what Christians today ought to do. And after all, surely we would not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Baptism identifies us with the Lord Jesus. He buried with him in death and raised in a newness of life. The word of God gives us Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And Christians did this in the beginning. They got saved. They got baptized. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. And I'm sorry, if there are any online right now who are using a different translation than the old-fashioned King James, verse 37 very well may not be in your Bible. In fact, I know it's not in a lot of them. Sometimes they include a little footnote down at the bottom that says, well, the King James includes verse 37. But in many of those new translations, it's not there. But listen to Acts 8, 36 through 38. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?'" Verse 37 is the next one. That's what's left out. What is the prerequisite for biblical baptism? You got to be saved first. Verse 37 says, "And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." I mean, he got saved and then immediately got baptized. It's what Christians did. It's what Christians ought to do, you see. I got saved February the 16th, 1964. Our church, as a Baptist church, did not have a baptistry. There was a lot of things that little first building didn't have. One of them was a baptistry. So we had to wait and borrow the baptistry from another church that of like faith. And we got my dad got baptized. I was baptized. My brother was baptized on April the 5th. 1964. Had our church had a baptistry, I would have gotten baptized, I'm sure, either that night or that week, but we didn't have one. But the next step was those of us who got saved during that revival meeting, that evangelistic meeting, we all got baptized that same time. And so, baptism is important to please the Lord. Why? Because it identifies us with the Lord Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, you see. It's like an x-ray. It shows what's on the inside to people on the outside. It's like a wedding ring. It does not marry you, but it identifies you with your spouse, you see. And that's what baptism does. It does not save you. It does not give you eternal life. It does not make you more saved. It does none of those things. It simply identifies you that you belong to the Lord Jesus. What else pleases the Lord for after you get saved? Well, think about church. Acts 2:41. You got your Bibles there. Familiar passage, but why do we overlook this all too often? Acts 2:41 through 47, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." There you have baptism again, very first thing. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. And no, that's not communism. Somebody told me that one time that that was the purest form of communism in the entire world. And no, this is not communism. They had all things common, but they were not communist, and it was not communism. And it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, this was not just an evangelistic meeting. They had a local church that was formed, you see. A church, by the way, that was already in existence. And when they got saved, they got baptized, and they were added to the church. And the word church that is found there, you can look it up. Check my words. I invite you to do it. The word that God put there is the word ecclesia, or if you're from the South, ecclesia. And it means a called out and assembled group of people, you see. It wasn't a group of people sitting at the end of a shotgun waiting for the next deer to come along or holding on to a fishing rod waiting for the big bass to come along. It's not talking about that kind of Christian out in the world as the family. It's talking about a local church. And they were added to that church, the Bible says, daily. So being a part of a church and having your membership in a church is important. How do we know that there's a membership? Because Paul taught in Corinthians that if someone committed a particular sin, which he named off in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, he said you can put them out of the church. Well, you can't be put out of a church if you're not in a church. You can't lose your membership in a church if you don't have your membership in a church. And so the local church is very, very important. And today the local church is not important to a lot of people. It ought to be. Why? Because the Bible says that God gave his own blood for the church, ecclesia. And if it's important to God, it ought to be important to us, you see. The local church is a place to go, a place to give, a place to serve, a place to fellowship, a place to rear a family, and a place to grow up in Christ. It's all of those things, a local church. And I can suggest a really good church right here in Manitou Springs, but that's maybe I'm a little bit prejudiced over that. But what else pleases the Lord after you get saved? Well, we talked about baptism, the first step of obedience for the new child of God. We talk about church and church membership, which is very, very important. But thirdly, and this is so important, walking with the Lord. Have a relationship with God. You know, God is not somebody you meet only on Sunday. The Bible says we're supposed to walk with God all the time. And you know, it's in the Old Testament, and we use it all the time. But Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 is still in the Bible. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's a rhetorical question, which has an obvious answer. In other words, somebody can say, well, I don't understand the question. No, the question is asked with an obvious answer. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How do we do that? You know, our little gospel tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, has three simple little steps. You get saved, of course, then you get baptized. But then it talks about your walk with the Lord. We simplify it, but it's the beginning of great things. First of all, you read your Bible. That's when God speaks to you. God does not speak today with an audible voice, as some religions say. He speaks through His written word. He has nothing more to add to the Bible than what's in the Bible. We have the complete revelation of God. You want to have God speak to you? Read your Bible. Read. If I ever come into this pulpit and say to you, you know, God spoke to me this morning, you better start taking notes, because that's what that is inspiration. God may prompt you. God may convict you. God will lead you. He will guide you. But He today does not speak in an audible voice. And I don't care what religious group says that He does, because if He does, they need to write down every word that He says to them, because that's inspiration. And I'll guarantee you, it's not biblical. So you read your Bible. That's God speaking to you. Secondly, you pray. Secondly, you pray. That's where you speak to God. It doesn't have to be, "Oh, thou mighty God of Jacob and Hananiah and Hezekiah and all of Jeroboam and Rehoboam and all the Boam boys and Jehoshaphat and all the fat fellas." It doesn't mean you got to pray like that, okay? It's a conversation with the Lord. Sometimes you cry out to Him. Sometimes you speak softly. Sometimes you pray out loud. But it's you talking to the Lord. And I dare say that many believing Christians today who are listening to my voice either online, hopefully not in this room, have not spent any time today talking to the Lord. I know I have, and I hope that you have. And I mean over more than praying for your food. We had a delicious lunch this afternoon. We prayed and thanked God for the food. But that's not the only time that we talk to the Lord, you see. So you read your Bible. That's where God speaks to you. You pray. That's where you speak to God. And you cannot walk with God if you disagree with Him. Amos 3:3. Where the Word of God says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And so that's part of that relationship that you have with the Lord. It's nothing deep. It's nothing hard to understand. The Bible is God's Word. Your prayer life is your speaking to God. And if you and God are always in a fist fight over something, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The fourth thing we can do is pleasing the Lord after we get saved is very simple. And it really is the third point of number three. I said to read your Bible and pray, but this one is witnessing for the Lord. That pleases Him when we tell people about the Lord Jesus. Mark 16 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's where we speak for God. Reading the Bible is God speaks to you. Prayer is where you speak to God. Witnessing is where you speak for God on behalf. You know, Jesus is not walking around on this earth in a physical body right now. You realize that? Nobody got up this morning and saw Jesus standing outside their window. If you did, you better check what you had before you went to bed last night. Your pizza might have had too many onions on it. That's all I can say. No, Jesus is not a 60-foot Jesus walking out on the water, as one preacher said that He was doing. One preacher said that God is about 6 foot 2 or whatever it was, and 180 pounds or whatever it was. No, He's none of those things. I'm talking about you speak for Him because He's not walking around on this earth. You are. And we have the obligation from Him to spread the gospel to every creature. And this is where we speak about the Lord to others. And when was the last time that you witnessed on behalf of the Lord Jesus? And we're talking about things that please the Lord, that please Him. This morning I gave an illustration that when I was walking on the streets of Chicago, on the sidewalk there, I was going from point A to point B, and I walked past a lady, and the Lord spoke to my heart and prompted me that I needed to go witness to her, and I told God no. That did not please Him. I kept walking. And He prompted me again that I needed to go back and witness to this lady. And I shouldn't have said it like I did. I said, "All right, I'll go witness to her, but she better get saved," of all things. Dumb, oh, dumb, dumb thing to say. I turned around and went back and witnessed to her. She ended up getting saved, and she was so happy to get saved. I walked away from that, and I thought, man, was I wrong. I did not please God when He prompted me to witness, but He was pleased when I did, you see. There is so much more that could be said about pleasing the Lord. What I gave you tonight is ABC, 1, 2, 3, simple. I did not give you a list of 25 things that you can do on a daily basis in order to please the Lord and show that you love Him. I could do that. I honestly could. I could write a sermon like that and I could go through 25 points. I know that I could. But there's something that even the basic things that God has laid out in His Word that even mature Christians no longer practice. There are some who've been saved for many years, have never been baptized, and they should get baptized. Many years ago, a lady came to our church and really liked Timberline, loved you people, and wanted to be a member of the church. And I talked to her about her salvation. Of course, she had a salvation date, which was wonderful. But I said, we have to baptize you because you came from a belief that does not believe in salvation by grace. And she said, well, I got baptized when I was a baby. She said, I'm not giving that up. Later on, she had trusted Christ as her Savior, but she refused to get baptized. Needless to say, she didn't come back, and she didn't join Timberline. But what you do, baptism doesn't come before salvation. Salvation first, then baptism, then church membership, you see. But there are many believers today who have never understood the importance of baptism. And many who to this day do not believe that you have to be a part of a local church to be an obedient Christian. Somehow or other, they missed it along the line. They missed it in the book of Acts. They missed it in the book of 1 Corinthians. They missed it in so many ways. And to this day, I know many who are just not convinced that the local church is all that important. Fish out of water always dies. I just want to say that. And so, there's so much more that could be said, but these are good places to start. And if you're not right with God, it is only because you have stopped doing what pleases the Lord. That's the simplicity of it. Do you see the simple logic that I'm trying to use tonight, even with myself? A plus B equals C. 1 + 2 = 3. There's a simplicity that comes in obeying the Lord. You find out what pleases Him and do it. You find out what doesn't please Him and don't do it. And that's the simple logic of it all. And so, if you are away from the Lord, not right with God, I just want to remind you of an old saying that's become trite, but is still true. If you're away from God, who moved? The Bible says very plainly, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So it's a matter of simplicity. And so perhaps there are some today who need to start pleasing the Lord again. I don't know. But I know that I was prompted to bring this message tonight, necessarily, even to the Timberline Baptist Church family, because after a while, I think we get used to one another and we get used to what we do and we forget what's important to the Lord sometimes. So I wanted to give us a simple reminder tonight. And I trust that you were able to listen. I trust you did not have a clouded mind that was maybe filled with other voices and things that were drawing your attention away from the Word of God tonight. And I trust that if the Lord showed any of us in this room tonight an area where we need to reinforce it, that we will do just exactly that. And let's pray.